Song, and I got to thinking, I forgot to announce this morning, but next Saturday night, we'll have our couples Valentine banquet. If you're going, oh, that sounds good, I think I'll come. If you didn't know about it already, it's too late. Sorry, but you had to sign up and turn in a menu and all that kind of stuff. But we will have our Valentine's banquet on Saturday night at 6 o'clock. And then Sunday will be service as usual, but on Sunday night, we're going to have a special guest here on Sunday night, Brother Carl Partain, and his family will be here and be in service with us. I haven't decided yet whether or not he's preaching. I know they'll be singing. You can bank on that, but Lord willing, I don't know. I'll probably be doing the preaching, but we're looking forward to having Brother Carl and the kids, and I know they'll be a blessing. Now, if you will indulge me a little bit tonight, I want to go back and revisit Genesis chapter 22 for a few minutes tonight. Genesis chapter number 22. How many of you were not in the service on Wednesday night? You were here, but Patch Club or whatever, for whatever reason, you wasn't able to be in here. Please be sure to get with Brother Justin and get the CD of Wednesday night. This CD or this message tonight will kind of accompany that CD. They'll not really a series, but they'll just go together. On Wednesday night, I brought a message on obedience. And the title of the sermon was, Does It Pay to Obey? Does it pay to obey? I told you I was working on one on what it costs to disobey. Disobedience will always cost us something. Let me just throw this in. It has nothing to do with the sermon tonight. But sometimes when we are disobedient to God, we may not know until we get to heaven what it cost us to disobey God. In other words, what I'm saying is by not walking in His will and by not obeying the voice of God or the call of God, whatever that may be, or the Word of God in our lives, we may not know what we missed out on. We may think everything's going along just great till we get to heaven and find out what we could have had if we had only been obedient. Does that make sense? So be sure and get that CD if you would. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Not that I'm a great preacher, but it's just a great truth that we brought on Wednesday night. I want you to look again in Genesis chapter 22. And I'm sure you're familiar. If you're not, I'll bring you up to par. This is the chapter in the Bible, I think one of the greatest chapters in the Old Testament for the Christian to learn some valuable lessons for our lives. But in this story, we have Abraham taking his son Isaac up on Mount Moriah to offer him for a burnt offering. And there they found the ram caught by the horns in the thicket, and he offered him up in the stead of Isaac. But a lot of great truths seen in this, a lot of types and pictures, but I'm not going to preach from those. I want to look at one simple thought tonight. Look with me at verse number 1, where the Bible said, "And it came to pass after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold," say the next phrase with me, "here I am." Jump over to verse number 11. The Bible said, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said," say it with me, "here am I." Tonight I want to look at those two phrases, "here I am" and "here am I," and they're one and the same, and they mean exactly the same thing. Sometimes I think the phrases and the sentences in the Scriptures carry a deeper meaning sometimes than what's just on the surface. And we want to try to dig down a little bit deeper and see what Abraham means by "here I am" and "here am I." Tonight I want to preach to you on this thought. Are you available? Are you available to God? Someone has said that the greatest ability that anyone could have is availability. The greatest ability you have is not a great singing voice. The greatest ability you have is not great people skills to witness or talk to people in the street. Your greatest ability is not to be able to teach the Bible. Your greatest ability tonight is availability. I don't think God is looking to and fro in the earth looking for somebody who is able. I don't think He is. I'm living proof. I think what He is looking for, however, is somebody who is available. Amen. I remember when I surrendered to preach and God was dealing with my heart, and my biggest comeback to the Lord every time I would pray is, God, I can't preach. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart time and time and time and time again and said, no problem, I've been doing it for years. Yeah. Amen. If we are available and we make ourselves available to God, God is able to put within us the ability to do whatever it is He's asked us to do. God will never direct you or lead you or ask you to do anything that He cannot equip you to do. Are you listening? Some people think that they have been called into the singing ministry and they get started at it. But I think they get ahead of God. They didn't wait on the ability. They just started singing. Amen. Can I get a witness right there? Availability to God, I don't think, is anywhere better illustrated than in this portion of Scripture. Three times in this chapter, Abraham uses that statement, here I am, or here am I. He says it twice to the Lord and once to his son, here am I, here am I. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that and said, Lord, here am I? Jacob, in the sunset years of his life, he is about to go off the scene in Genesis chapter 46 and verse number 2, and he makes that very same statement to the Lord. He said, here am I. At the burning bush, when Moses kicked his shoes off his feet, in Exodus chapter number 3, he responds identically to the Lord. The Lord said, Moses, and he said, here am I. Here am I. After his vision of God and the throne in heaven, after the question of service, Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter number 6, here am I. Send me. Little Samuel laying in the bed asleep, maybe fully not knowing God or fully about the things of God, the Lord wakes him up out of his sleep, and I think two or three times, and he goes to the old priest and said, did you call me? And he says, no. And finally the old man of God said, hey, I ain't said a word. Boy, that must be God. He said, so the next time you hear that voice, you answer, here am I. Over and over in the Bible, we find people responding that way. What Moses or Abraham, Moses too, all these men were saying to God was, here am I, and I'm available. When Abraham said, here I am, he wasn't making himself available to decide about the will of God. Now make sure you get that real good. It's not going to be our normal Sunday night. This is kind of a Wednesday night deal right here. Abraham was not making himself available to decide whether or not he would do God's will. Rather, he was making himself available to do it. Do you understand that? The will of God isn't something that once we figure out what it is, that we bring it up for a vote. That's not availability. Many of us might want to say on the outward part, I'm available to God if He needs me, as long as He don't need that. Or as long as He don't need that. Or as long as He don't send me there. You're not available. You're picking and choosing what you would do for God. Are you with me? The way God tests His servant was, He did not say, take somebody else's son up on the mountain. He said, take your son, your most prized thing. Are you available? Pretty serious question, isn't it? Amen. Availability is giving yourself to the will of God before you fully know what His will is. Can I make that statement again? Availability is giving yourself to the will of God before you fully know what the will of God is. Amen. Now you've got to understand why. If you fully knew what the will of God was and where the path was going to take you, you may do like Jonah and run, get in a boat, and go in the opposite direction. 16 years ago, come March, as Brother Charles and Brother Robert Upton set me down in the office and asked me to consider being your pastor. Had I been able to see the end of this thing, and we're not at the end, maybe the middle, but if I'd have been able to see where we are now, it would have scared me to death. Why? Because then I wasn't ready for where I am now. Sometimes still wonder if I am. Availability is giving yourself to the will of God before you know what it is. Availability is giving yourself to the will of God before you know what the will of God is. Availability is giving yourself to the will of God before you know what the will of God is. You say, preacher, you're getting on my nerves. Good. That means you're getting it. If you don't remember another statement I make all night, availability is giving yourself to the will of God before you know what the will of God is. We talk about I surrender all and coming and putting it all on the altar and saying, God, whatever you want for my life. But deep down in our heart, just about every one of us are hanging on to something. We're really hoping and praying that God doesn't want that area of our lives. But to fully be available to God is to say, yes, Lord, before you ever hear the question. In other words, we take a blank contract, sign our name, have it notarized, then give it to God and say, here, you fill it in. That's availability. I'm going to ask you a question again tonight. Are you available? Are you available? For what, preacher? I don't know. Whatever he asks, whatever he needs. Now, in this thing of availability, I want to show you some things. Take your Bible and go to Hebrews chapter number 5. In this thing of availability or obedience, they're one and the same. You cannot be obedient without being available. Does that make sense? If we have not yielded our life to God, in other words, gave Him the right of way or veto power or complete control, we're not obedient to begin with. Is that correct? I want you to understand that this thing of obedience is a process. You don't just wake up one day and say, I think I'll try obedience. It's something that is learned. How many of you have raised or are raising children? Yes. Obedience is taught. Sometimes through devotion, but oftentimes through discipline. Yes, sir. Are we okay? Sometimes our children learn to be obedient through devotion, but the majority of the time, they learn to be obedient by discipline. Yes. Hebrews chapter number 5, look at verse number 8. I want to show you something. This is talking about the Lord. And the Bible said, though he were a son, yet, what's the next word? Learned he, what? Obedience by the things which he, say the next word. Wow. If Christ in the flesh, God in the flesh, the man part of him, had to learn obedience by the things which he suffered, don't you think that obedience is something that we learn? Now, if you are just newly born again, you've not been saved very long, you've got some wiggle room. But for those of us who have been in the way for a long time, we have no excuse. Why? Because over the years, we should have learned to be obedient. Amen. Amen. You remember how you learned that the furnace was hot? You got burnt. I promise you, I only touched it once. In the dead heat of summer, I mean, that heater ain't been on in months. I'd walk all the way around that thing and go, hot, hot, hot. Why? I learned obedience. Don't touch that by suffering. I had to feel the pain to know that that thing's hot. Why could that not carry over in my Christian life? There ought to be a process of learning. Hey, dummy, the last time you did that, it set you back spiritually a year. The last time you did that, you got away from God. The last time you did that, you quit reading your Bible. The last time you did that, you got depressed, you got down. Hey, we ought to learn from these things which we suffer. Amen. There is a process of learning. Now, I want to look at verse number 1. Go back to Genesis chapter 22. There's some statements in verse 9. That's where we're going to stay, in verse number 1. There's some statements that I want to look at. The Bible said, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Before Abraham said, behold, here I am. Now pay attention to me. We're talking about a learning process, or a process of learning. Before Abraham said, here am I, or here I am, Abraham had been in a school of events for years. Abraham had been in a process of learning for a long time. And then the Bible said, and it came to pass after these things. After these events, it was when Abraham said, here I am. There was a process of learning related to his availability. In other words, Abraham is at a place in his old age, Brother Freddie, where he is more available to God now than he has ever been. At where I am as your pastor, I should be at a place where I am more available now than I was 16 years ago when I said, yes, Brother Charles, I'll be your pastor. I should be more available. I mentioned it the other night. I'll mention it again. It seems to me that it's the opposite. That it's the young Christians who are full of zeal. They don't have a whole lot of knowledge, but they got a whole lot of get up and go. They're willing to jump in and do things that they're not prepared to do. I'll teach a Sunday school class. I don't know the books of the Bible, but I'm ready to teach. Come on, y'all listening?
Amen.
You know what they're doing? They're saying, preacher, I'm available.
Yes, sir.
I'm available. But then you got people who have been saved 30 and 40 years who say, I know the Bible up one side and down the other, but please don't ask me to do anything.
Come on, preacher.
We get the attitude sometimes, Brother Todd, I've done my time.
Yeah.
Come on, preacher.
Your time ain't done if you're sucking in and blowing out.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
There may be a time as you age that you're not able to do the things that you used to do.
Yes, sir.
But even in our golden years, we ought to be more available to God for whatever. Remember, He won't ask you to do anything that you cannot do.
That's right. Yes.
Amen. He ain't going to ask Sister Peggy to walk that whole parade route. And He's sure not going to ask Granny Faye. But He might ask them to pray.
Yeah.
Amen.
He might ask them to call a visitor or somebody who's sick at home.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. We ought to be more available as we go through the learning process. How many of you would agree that the Christian life is a learning process? When we examined this little phrase, and it came to pass, we learned several things about God's procedure. There is a way God does things. Do you understand that? And when we figure out and learn how God does things in our lives, it will help or aid us to go forward with the Lord. The very first word, and, suggest a continuation. The word and it came to pass. That little word and is a what? Conjunction. Is that right? It's hooking up what is about to be said with what has already been said. In other words, when God speaks to Abraham, hey, Abraham knows the voice. Why? Because he's heard it in days past.
Amen.
Amen. It's a continuation. There is definitely more to salvation than a crisis experience. There's more to salvation than trouble and trial. There are sweet and precious times alone with God. If you have not experienced those, you may not be saved. I'm not trying to cast doubt on your salvation, but if you've never had a precious time alone with God, you may not know Him. Because I believe He visits with His people. Amen? It's a continuation. What God is doing, He is taking Abraham from one place spiritually to another. He's already on the ladder, but He's going up another rung. Does that make sense? God is moving him from where he was to where he wants him to be. How many of you remember the message several years ago Brother Fisher preached in our camp meeting? He said, new levels, new devils.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's where Abraham is. He is in a time of testing, a new level, a new trial. It takes the trial to bring him to the new level.
Yes.
Amen. The word and, it just suggests a continuation. God is moving him from where he is to another place, and it's always a better place. When God continues to move in our life, if God ceases to move in your life, you better check up. We have some members in our church who God has ceased to move in their life. And it's not God's choice.
Amen.
It's their own.
Yeah.
What happened? They stopped being available. My little sister is not here tonight, but I despise, her daughter is, I despise calling her. If my wife says, call Pam, oh, why? She's not going to answer the phone. Ever. If I ever get her, I fall out on the floor and I don't even get to talk to her. So Pam said, why don't you call me? You're not available. Why doesn't God speak to me anymore? Why haven't I heard the voice of God or felt the touch of God? Maybe you just haven't made yourself available to God. Maybe the lack of continuance of God working in your life, it's not God's fault, it's your fault.
Amen.
We okay? The word and suggests a continuation. Then secondly, The Bible said it came to pass. That indicates a finalization and suggests a continuation. It came to pass suggests a conclusion. Do you understand? And it came to pass. That ought to help us as Christians. The trial we're going through as God is trying to see if we are readily and available for Him. We must know that if we'll be obedient and we'll make ourselves fully available to God, this will come to pass.
Amen.
Amen. In Abraham's life, that phrase, "it came to pass," is found over and over and over. In chapter 12 and verse 11, chapter 12 and verse 14, chapter 14 and verse number 1, chapter 15 and verse number 17, chapter 19 and verse 17, chapter 20 and verse number 29 and verse number 34, chapter 20 and verse number 13, chapter 21 and verse number 22, chapter 22 verse number 1 and verse number 20, chapter 24 and verse number 15, 22, 30 and 52.
Amen.
What are you saying? Abraham had some experiences with God. By the time Abraham reaches where he is in his olden age, he had already seen enough come to pass that enabled him to say, "Here am I." Does that make sense? What are you saying, preacher? It is a learning process. Remember when you first got saved, you didn't really know how far to stick your neck out. But the more time you spend with God and the more you learn of Him, we get to a place where we just stick it all the way out there.
Yes.
Why? Because we've been through enough of them and it came to pass.
Yes.
In other words, God has proven Himself to us over and over and over and over. In Philippians chapter number 2, Paul put it this way. He said, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God's got a good plan for your life. And by now Abraham has learned, hey, all I got to do is be obedient. And this is whatever it is that God's fixing to ask me.
Amen.
It will come out all right.
Yeah.
Amen. The learning process not only involves learning the continuation and the conclusions of God's will, but this learning process also teaches us the connections of God's will as well. What are you saying? If we could only see how much our yesterdays connect with our todays. Some of y'all look like I've just lost you and you're about to go to sleep. If we had any idea how important those past days were.
Yes, sir. Amen, brother.
If we had any idea, these three men, this little group right here, if we had any idea how important these growing years have been between us, how important they were,
amen, brother.
How they affect today, and if we had any idea how our days will affect our tomorrow. Have you ever stopped to look back? You didn't understand it then, but looking back down the road, you say, "Oh, I see exactly, God, what you were doing. I'm sorry I ever questioned you. I'm sorry I ever doubted you. I'm sorry I got bitter. I'm sorry I got angry. God, thank you for bringing me through that trial. I didn't understand it, but I see clearly where you were trying. I see that it was necessary for you to take me there to get me here." I listened to the message Brother Freddie preached on the Wednesday night. The last Wednesday night I was gone. I think two Wednesday nights ago. By the way, it's been good to be home for a few weeks. Amen?
Yeah.
But Brother Freddie talked about the necessity of God leading those children of Israel through the wilderness. Those wilderness times in our lives are necessary.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen?
They're connections. These things that we're going through are connected to something in the future. I'm interested in those little words, "after these things." The Bible said it came to pass when? After these things. It came to pass when?
After
these things. What things? It's a good question, isn't it? The things that have been happening in Abraham's life of faith for the last years, many years. Starting way back there in Genesis chapter, I believe, 12, when God said, "Get thee to the land that I'll tell thee of." That's where his faith began. After his first evidence of faith in Genesis chapter 12. After his failure to faith in Egypt. Remember when he lied about his wife? That was his failure to his faith. And then after he had a family conflict with his faith in Genesis 13. And then after the fight of his faith to deliver Lot in Genesis chapter number 14. And then after the faithfulness of his faith to wait on the promises of God in Genesis chapter 15 and in Genesis chapter 21. And then after the foe of his faith was fought in the birth of Ishmael, a child that was not God's will. A substitute, if you will, because he got anxious and did not wait on the Lord. I'll just throw this in. Did you know we're still suffering repercussion from that? From that one mistake. Turn on the news tonight. You'll hear about Ishmael. Amen. All that mess over yonder. Yes. We have no idea the rippling effect when we step out of God's will and we get impatient and we don't wait on God's will. What was that? Some 4,000 years ago? Somewhere in that neighborhood? And they're still shooting one another in the head? They're still blowing up car bombs and they're still fighting over that speck of dirt? I mean, 4,000 years. Why? Because Abraham couldn't wait. Because Sarah got impatient. And Abraham went in to the handmaid and had a child by her. Isn't that something? After the foe of faith was fought in Ishmael, after all these things came the fire of his faith to try the old patriarch. After these things. After he came through this and this and this. Notice the test don't get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. They get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Why? Because God's trying to take me higher and higher and higher and higher and higher with Him. I'm at a place spiritually in my life where I'm begging God for more understanding. Where I'm begging God to illuminate His Word in my heart and my mind like He never has before. Why? Because you've heard everything I know. Twice. At least. We all right tonight?
Yeah.
Here I am. What a noble statement. What a great response to God. However, it must be learned. There is a process of learning. I know young Christians will crawl on the altar tonight and say, "God, here am I. Here am I." And it's okay. And it's okay to say that. But listen to me carefully. You're going to find out you're not really. That's something you've got to learn. You'll become, if you'll be obedient, you'll become more and more available to God as you age. Does that make sense? As you grow in faith, as you grow in that book, and you grow in the knowledge of His Word. Amen. It's a learning process. Go ahead. It's all right for the kids to get on the altar and say, "Lord, here am I."
Yes,
but we'll take that statement back time and time. I have.
Yes,
you have.
Yeah.
How many of you ever made that statement to the Lord? Come on, be honest. Lord, here am I. How many times after that has Lord said, okay, do this? Oh, I didn't mean that. Lord, I'll do anything, but sometimes we find out we're not really as available as we would like to think we are, or like we would want others to think that we are. There is a process of learning. And then secondly tonight, there is a patience in listening. There's a process of learning, but there is a patience of listening. God has been speaking to some, but some aren't hearing.
Come on, preacher.
Are you listening to me? Die, 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 die. You ever talk to a kid who was in the middle of a cartoon? Come on. Or even a husband who's watching a ball game. You say their name 7 or 8 times and honest before God, they're not ignoring you. They do not hear you. Why? Because they're so in tune with what they want and where their interest lies that they have you tuned out. We all right? And if we're not careful, we'll tune God out. Not purposely, but we'll get so interested in something else that we're not hearing God call at all. We come to the second principle in Abraham's "Here I am." God said unto him, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him. God clearly spoke to Abraham. Availability not only includes the process of learning, but patience of listening. An obedient heart learns to listen to God. Simple statement, but it went right over some of our heads. An obedient heart learns to listen to God. I know the Bible says to try the spirits. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you know when God speaks? Everybody in this room could be talking at one time with my wife in the middle. Blindfolded, I could find her. My mother could be in the Georgia Dome full of people screaming at once. My mother just talking. And I could find her. Here's what Jesus said. Listen to me. He said, "My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow." As a Christian, part of this learning process is this patience of listening. We need to learn to hear the voice of God. Have you heard Him lately? Have you ever went through those silent years or days where it seems like the heavens were brass? Boy, I've been there. Be patient. Be patient. God's still speaking. The Lord didn't have to call Abraham 6 or 7 times. He didn't say, "Abraham, Abraham, Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Abraham," one time. One time. And Abraham said, "Here I am." In verse number 7, the angel said, "Abraham, Abraham." Why did he say it twice? Because he was so intent on doing what God said do that he spoke to him twice. It did not take 100 verses of "just as I am" to get a response out of Abraham. Sometimes, and I won't do this, but sometimes I think one verse ought to be enough for an invitation. Because if you were going to answer God, you'd answer Him. Are we all right? God said, Abraham, here I am. Here I am. He had something to say to Abraham. He had a word for him. And he still has something to say to his people. I heard about an old preacher back years and years ago. They said he prayed for hours a day. Locked himself in a room. Do not disturb. He's talking with God. And a young preacher asked the old preacher, he said, what do you do all those hours that you're in that room alone? Do you just pray and talk to God the whole time? He said, no, son. He said, I spend most of my time listening to Him. He said, I've learned over the years that what I have to say isn't really all that important. But what He has to say means everything. James addresses that in James chapter number 1 and verse 19. He said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Amen. We ought to be patient. You say, you think I ought to just sit and listen for God? Mm-hmm. It's called meditation. Brother William asked me a hard question the other day. I think I was in the middle of Walmart. Can't remember, I think that's where I was. He said, I asked you something. I said, what? He said, where do you get most of your sermons? I said, I steal them off the internet. That's easy. No. Most of the time, I may get a thought. But most of the time, that's where it starts, is in a thought. I'll read the scriptures, but you ask my wife. I lay down on my bed, and I close my eyes, and I just lay there and let God reveal to my heart what He'd have me say to you. But to do that, Brother Freddie, I've got to learn to listen to Him. I'm not saying that cuts out my study time. What God does is I lay there and listen to Him. He brings back to my mind what I learned in my study to go with the thought that He wants me to bring and give to you. But to do that, I must learn to listen to God. Amen. And be patient in listening. You ever been to a place where you felt like God's forgotten you? When you reach for your Bible, all you see is a bunch of black letters on white paper. Have you ever wondered, would God ever speak to you again? Let this encourage you to wait for another word from God. He not only speaks, but He speaks again and again and again and again. I'm glad God didn't just speak to me at salvation and deal with me about my soul and leave me there. If I never spoke to my wife, our marriage would not make it. Have you ever got that thing? We never talk. Come on, men, so you can say amen right there. We don't talk anymore. Why? Communication is vital to any relationship. Can I say that again? Communication is vital to any relationship. We best make sure we keep those lines open. I'm glad that God does speak, and I'm glad He speaks again and again and again and again. He's persistent, isn't He? Amen. You say, well, I haven't heard God speak. You've just tuned Him out. He's speaking. Some of your problem is this. You're listening to what other people in the church are saying. And some of y'all, let me throw you out a red flag of warning. You're listening to what people are saying who are disgruntled and don't come here anymore.
Yeah.
They will destroy your joy.
Yes, sir.
They will snatch your victory away from you. They will cause you to come in, sit down in the church, and look to see, are they right?
Come on, preacher, that's good.
I know what I'm talking about. You're listening to the wrong one. Well, what if they're telling the truth? You're listening to the wrong one. What if there are problems? There are.
Yes, sir.
And when you see all the problems they're trying to point out to you, and you go over there to this great church that they found, it ain't going to be long. They're going to be pointing out that church's problems to you too. How do you know? Because that's what they are. They're not listening to God either. We okay? I know we ain't shouting and clicking our heels tonight, but I want us to be a church that's available to God. Whatever that next place is that Brother Freddie was preaching about that we're not quite ready for, I want to be available when we are. When God says, okay, now go, now knock the wall out, draw up the plans, call the county, get it done, put the addition, do the parking, tear out the old house, build the new education, whatever it may be, I want to be available when He says go. I hope you do, amen. His call was persistent, but was also personal. I like this. The Bible said in verse number 1 that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, now watch this next word. Said unto him what? Verse 1. First word out of God's mouth. What? Abraham. Boy, isn't that something? Isn't it something? Several years ago at the Cobb County Fair, I met a famous country music star, but he wasn't then. He was just a redneck from around here. His name was Travis Tritt. He has a big old mansion over there in Hire. They say he stops at the little convenience stores and hangs out down there with them old men. I met him one time, but I bet you a dollar if I walked in, he would not remember my name. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven. When He calls me, it's personal. He don't say, hey, what? No. He says, Eddie. He knows who I am, Brother Freddie. I'm glad I know who He is, but better than all that, He knows my name. The Lord said He has the hairs of my head numbered. Job said that He counts my footsteps. I'm glad that it's a personal thing with God. I don't have to go and talk through a knot hole to a knot head to a preacher wearing a dress to get him to talk to God for me. Yeah. I'm glad I can say, Lord. Yes, Eddie. And I'm glad the Lord can say, Eddie. And I can say, yes, Lord. Are you with me? When God speaks, it's personal. Sometimes God will speak to our church as a whole, and He'll do it from this pulpit. But sometimes God speaks to me and to me alone. And sometimes God speaks to you and He speaks to you alone. I love that old song, He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am His own. The patience in listening. It's a preacher, I'm not accustomed to hearing God speak to me. Ask Him, Lord, as I read through this book, would You speak to me? Don't get me wrong, He's not going to come out of your television set. It's not going to be some spooky, weirdo kind of dream kind of thing. I worry about these people that say, oh, preacher, I had a dream. No, you ate too much pizza before you went to bed. Amen? I worry about some of that stuff. I was telling you. Never mind, I did tell you. Let me move along. I'm glad it's personal. But listen. When God gets personal with you, it's very demanding. When God gets personal with you, it's always demanding. When God calls your name, usually He wants something. Amen? There is a sense of responsibility that accompanies this sweet time when God calls your name. Now listen. I find in my life, I don't mind the Lord putting demands on Brother Freddie. Doesn't bother me a bit. Load him up, God. I know it, brother. I don't mind him putting it on Brother Greg, Brother Warren, these men. I don't mind it. But boy, I find myself kicking against it when he puts it on me. Yeah. Amen? Amen? But that's the cost of having God speak to you. And he doesn't speak without bringing demands. There was a process of learning. There was a patience of waiting. And then this act of obedience and saying, here I am, or here am I, there is a principle of leaning. A principle of leaning. Why did Abraham so quickly say, here I am? He trusted fully the one who called his name. Are you listening? I have caller ID on my phone at home. Some of y'all are looking at me like, yeah, so you don't want to talk? No. Them long distance numbers, unknown, I ignore them. Why? Because I don't trust nobody who would call you in the middle of supper and try to sell you something. Amen. So I ignore the call. There is a principle of leaning. I'm not afraid to say, yes, Lord. Why? Because of the principle or the process of learning, the patience in listening, I've learned that it's okay to say yes to God. Amen. Availability not only involves that process of learning, patience of listening, but also this principle of leaning. When Abraham said, here I am, we see an illustration of the words from Solomon in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5, where he said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Amen? Abraham makes himself available not just to the words of God, but to the ways of God and to the will of God. In other words, Abraham says, whatever. You took me from my home, led me where I've never been before. You promised me a kid, and when I thought it was over, at 100 years old, I had a son. You promised, that you would, through that son, that one that I'm fixing to, you promised that you would bring forth a nation from him. So whatever it is you're about to ask me, I trust you. Amen? Do you trust him? Listen, somebody who is fully leaning on the Lord is willing to be searched. He's willing to be searched by the Lord. This is probably one of the most searching chapters in the Bible. When Abraham said, here I am, he was making himself available to God's searching. His faith in God was searched through and through. By the time this was over, God knew exactly where he stood. Would you agree? His fear or reverence of God was examined. His fellowship with God was put to the test. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 23, talking about him which searcheth the reins and the hearts. Some of us are not willing for God to search us, are we? When a cop makes an arrest, when Brother Greg goes on the army base and makes an arrest, they put the handcuffs on them and then they search them. What are they looking for? Something that should not be there. Yeah. When God searches our lives, He's often looking for something that should not be there. and we think we have it hid, He always finds it, doesn't He?
Yeah.
Every single time He finds it. And He doesn't even have to look hard. I say, search me, O God.
Right there.
Just like that. Sometimes I don't even have to ask, because He's already pointed it out and I've ignored Him.
Yeah.
To fully lean on God is to say, Lord, search me. Search me. Now listen, I confess, I'm willing to be blessed. I'll take the blessings of God day in and day out. Won't you?
Yes.
And rejoice and shout about it. But I'm not quite so ready to be searched. Because at any given time, there may be something in the closet. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And David said, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Man, could you pray that? Search me, O God. See if there's any wicked way in me. I know there is. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. Leaning on God is saying we're willing to be searched. But not only that, it's saying we're willing to be submissive. When Abraham replied, "Here I am," he revealed a submissive heart. Now, pay close attention. I'm almost done. There is a difference between surrender and submission. We have a lot of Christians who have surrendered, but they've never submitted their lives to God. See if you can figure out where you are. Surrendering involves giving in to the opposition. Submitting includes giving over to it. Does that make sense? Let me give you an example. In Vietnam, there were many prisoners of war, POWs. For the sake of losing their lives, you know what they had to do? They had to surrender. But very few submitted. They had to surrender to save their life. You had to surrender to keep your soul out of hell. But that's all you did. Listen, any one of those prisoners would have took a dangerous escape route at any given time. And that's what most Christians are doing today. They're looking for a way out. Why? Because they've not yet submitted. In Vietnam, they would hook electrodes to those pilots and send shock through their body. They would drive bamboo shoots under their fingernails. Isn't that right, Brother Greg?
Yes.
And literally torture them. Brother Fisher said, all through those jungles, you could hear Marines screaming. What were they doing? Trying to get them to submit. They had already surrendered, but Brother Tom, they hadn't submitted. What are you saying, preacher? They were trying to get them to deny that. And give in to the Viet Cong. What is going on in my life, preacher? I know I'm saved, but man, I am going through it. God may be trying to get you to turn your back on that.
Yeah.
And submit to that.
Yeah.
We okay tonight?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand the difference between surrender and submission? I hope you do. The Bible said that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. That's what James said. James chapter number 4. Submit yourselves to God. Just give in to Him. That's what it means to yield. That's what it means to be obedient. just give it to Him. Amen? Not only was he submissive, but by saying, "Here am I," lastly, and I'm done, he was strengthened in Him. What a strengthening day this was for Abraham. You see, the trials that we go through, they're given to strengthen us, not weaken us. No one has ever been weakened by making themselves available to God. Do you understand that? We may not understand where what we're doing, what we're going through, or why we're going through it, but I promise you, if you'll give in to whatever it is God's doing in your life, surrender and then submit to it. Pay attention in the process of learning. You're in school. I told Caleb the other day, just because you got a diploma and you graduated the Bible Institute doesn't mean you're not still in school. Brother Charles, 44 years old, I'm still in school. I'm still learning. It's a process of learning. It's a learning to be patient in listening. I'm bad impatient. If I'm not careful, I'll get way ahead of God like Abraham did with Ishmael. And I won't wait on God. Sometimes I know what God wants to do, but it's not time to do it. And I've got to wait till that wheel and that timing lines up. Yeah. I've got to be patient in listening. But then I've got to learn just to lean on Him. Amen. To the tired and tried and suffering saints, Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus." Now watch this. He said, "After that ye have suffered a while," after that ye have suffered a while, "make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Wow. When? After you've suffered a while. After you've suffered a while. Are you learning obedience? Are you learning to be available to God? Are you more available now than you were in days past? I don't say this in a braggadocious way, but Brother Charles, honest before the Lord, I'm more available to God today than I've ever been in my life. Why? After these things. After these things. It took rocky roads in the marriage. It took tough days in the ministry. It took some backstabbings along the way. It took a son in a coma. It took 100 funerals in 1 year. It took one of my friends and yours dying in our bathroom between Sunday school and church. It took a 14-year-old girl on a youth trip dying in my arms. Are you listening? You say, "Preacher, I want what you got." You sure? Are you sure? It took putting a mother in the grave with a baby under each arm. I could go on for an hour of telling you what it took to make me more available. And I promise you tonight, standing where I am at 44 years old and looking back down the road at a 26-year-old preacher, no regrets on what God has done in my life.
Amen.
The only regrets is in the ways in which I've responded to Him.
I can see in every area exactly what he was doing, like moving checkers on a board. Sometimes it seems like you're moving in the wrong direction, but you're just setting up the next move. Yes, sir. Amen. Are you available? Are you willing to take the steps or go through the process of learning to make you more available to God? Let's stand to our feet. Some of you seem kind of bored with that tonight. And I hope because you were thinking. I hope you were getting it. When God needs somebody to do something, I hope He can count on me to do it. Can He count on you? Brother Todd, y'all get us a song if you would.